You're listening to
V for Vertigo,
episode 73.
Something kind of vertigo going on here. I've been seeing fables in my dreams. I've been laying scalped out here for hours in this swamp in New Orleans. I've been reading spells from books of magic, trying just to help blaze trails to you. Feeling like a loser, so, so tragic. Feeling like I'm left to preach at fools. All the time spent moving, oh so slow. It's something kind of vertigo.
Welcome, it's the beginning of another edition of V for Vertigo, where I'm in the air everywhere, streaming on the vast world wide web. And this podcast is one man's journey into the world of all things Vertigo comics, because everything else is just picture books. I'm your host, Mark. I'm really kind of sick and still getting over a cold, Johnson. And this week's spoiler-filled review will cover The Sandman: The Wake by Neil Gaiman. And I know what you're thinking. You're not necessarily thinking where I've been in the past fortnight or so, but you are thinking, I admit, I thought he was going to cover Madame Xanadu. I was going to have Amanda on, and we did talk about Madame Xanadu. And she really enjoyed it, by the way, and I didn't enjoy it as much as the first volume. I think I gave it a 3 out of 5 on the Mark Critic score. But for whatever reason, when we talked, it didn't get recorded correctly. It would be like this. I would be like, blah, 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 blah. So there's going to be a bitch of an edit, and I thought she couldn't hear me, but she really couldn't hear me. I don't know whether the problem was my mic, Skype, or the recording problem, or the recording program I had. I have no idea what the problem is, but I think if I'm ever going to interview again or have someone on, I'm going to use the cheap $20 mic or headset instead of the $100 mic. I really don't know. Now, the funny thing is, I didn't have the problem when Sean Pryor was on, so maybe something changed between now and then. But I think the mic did fall from the top of my desk. That's a good, 5 feet? I did catch it, but it might have rattled something. I don't know. Well, in this one, at least I could see the readout. But when Frank A. Rincon from Half Hour Wasted was on, he had the same problem too, but the editing, while it was still a bitch, he said afterwards that, yeah, I just could kind of roll with what you were going to say. He's a pro, so Amanda's not a pro, didn't really expect it, but she'll be back on again sometime in the future. Thanks, Amanda, if you're listening. And speaking of which, I think around this time is supposed to be the 2-year anniversary of the show. So, there you go. 2 years. Woo, woo, woo. And in case you're wondering, in case I have a new listener or two, this show is normally a half hour, well, a few minutes of me rambling about whatever, but a half hour if I don't have interviews or guests, and then I cover a various Vertigo trade per week and news. I forgot to check, but I don't really think there is any news. Well, at least there's none for Vertigo. Might have been from Bleeding Cool and Newsarama. But I didn't hear anyone talk about it. So I'm going to say there was no news. And then review a trade. Talk about or summarize it first and then talk about it. And that's pretty much the show. Yeah. Oh, and I apologize if I do sound sick. Although I think I'm getting better. My voice kind of came back. But it's still like if you go, see, yeah, my voice is a shit. That's all I know when I'm sick, is when I try to hold a pitch, and then it just comes out like I'm going through puberty, and they're like, okay, I'm sick. So I don't know how long this show's going to be, because talking's a bitch. Not as much as it was yesterday, not as much as it was yesterday, and the day before, maybe. Although it was nice to take a couple days off work. I think there's a bug going around the office. But in case you're wondering, people, if you want to sit back, relax, you watch movies, curl up in the bed, or you're sick, that's all fine and dandy. But whatever you do, don't watch Paranormal Activity. One of the worst fucking movies I've ever seen. I don't know how people like it. I don't know how people were scared. I don't know why it's getting a sequel. Well, no, I do on the last part. It made a lot of money. But man, oh man. If I was ever bored, that's gotta be the most boringest movie. I love bad movies. But forget acting, forget plot. Gratuitous sex and violence, or some scares, or some suspense, or tension, or something. Paranormal Activity was like a whole lot of nothing. It was basically nothing for 10 minutes, I start to nod off. There's something for a minute. Nothing for 10 more minutes, I'm starting to nod off. And the fact that I'm sick didn't really help that matter. But I just didn't get it. I don't get who was scared. I swear I would be nodding off if I was at the theater. I'd be like, oh my god. I thought Predators was bad, but at least it wasn't boring. And War was also boring. Amazing. A movie with Jet Li and Jason Statham. You're like, oh, it was really boring. It, like, The One, I think Jason Statham was in there. Was he in there? I don't know, but he didn't have a big role. Another black guy. Was he? I think he was the black guy's partner. But man, Paranormal Activity. Shoot me in the head. Alright, well, enough rambling. Maybe I'll talk about The Expendables next week. Who knows? That movie wasn't boring. No, I was expecting nothing. So I suppose I should get to my review since there's no news.
And now it's time for the rundown.
Alright, it's been a while, so I kind of forgot how to do this. But The Sandman, The Wake, like I said, is by Neil Gaiman. No surprise there. And now the summary of this trade is pretty simple. Half of the trade has to do with Dreams Wake. Thank you. Yeah, that was easy. I mean, all sorts of people come out except for Destruction. Even a bunch of cameos from the DCU. And yeah, they build some. Yeah, it's all takes place in the dream. Mortals will probably not remember it. But the other. Forgive me, I'm tired. The other beings will. And then the last half of the trade. Shit like this is why I don't really particularly care for Sandman. One half of the trade deals with the Wake. It's fine. It was alright. It actually really dealt with Matthew, the Raven, and where his role was. Which I thought was pretty interesting. But then you get. The other half deals with there's two stories. One's about a Chinaman who got exiled from his emperor and is walking in the desert. Meets Dream. Yeah. This wasn't a bad story, but I mean, you just go from, well, Dream died over here. Right. There's a Wake to a random Chinese guy. Like, it wasn't even, what was it? The fourth trade? Fifth? I don't remember. The one where there was Marco Polo. You're like, oh, okay, that's Marco Polo. Yeah, random Chinese guy. And then in the last trade, it's not random white guy. It's William Shakespeare. And I guess to wrap up the fact that in, what was it called? A Midsummer Night's Dream? Was that the name of the trade or something? Well, see, I had forgotten. I don't even remember if I liked that trade. I might have. But I had forgotten that William Shakespeare made a deal. I don't remember if it was with one of those beings or not. Or with Dream. But he made a deal to unlock his potential. And, you know, he's famous and all that. But apparently, this one was slightly interesting. Despite my hatred of William Shakespeare. Well, not my hatred. I rank William Shakespeare up with Neil Gaiman and Joss Whedon. I just really don't care for their work. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, so he's working on his last play for Dream, and then he's finished, and then he works on it, and I don't know what happens. He's not, I don't know if he's happy, but he's back to being a mediocre writer instead of a writer to be remembered. So, there you go. All three stories. Don't really get the other two. See, this Where to start? All right, this trade was a mishmash of things. Normally, what I've learned reading The Sandman, every other trade, one story about Dream, generally. The other trade, collection of short stories. One trade, next trade about Dream, next trade about short stories here. It was half about Dream, who's dead, kind of. And the other half about short stories, a bunch of characters. Weird. Now, plot-wise aside, I've never been a fan of the Sandman art, but here, the art was one of the first things that struck out to me, because generally I find the art in the Sandman too jarring and too blurry, but here it's clean, yet whimsical and very dreamlike. So none of that blurry, sketchy type shit that I normally found that's supposed to represent Dream. Well, not Dream, but Dream, the world. Which it reminds me of people that do that stuff, or did that stuff. It reminds me of what Jim Lee said when he did Superman and Batman. He said that everyone puts Batman in shadows. All of his shadows. They use black shadows. Some charcoal or whatever. This is black. It's shadows. You know, he's Batman. He's like, while putting shit in shadows or night or whatever, he would still do detailed stuff. And I was like, that was always cool. Wish people did it more with the Sandman, but that's neither here nor there. Although I do have a theory that the art, it went with the story because this is a new Dream. The Daniel Dream. Danielson! No, I don't know. Now, in some ways, I mean, it's still Dream, but it's also not. So I kind of like this Dream a little bit better. He's not as emo. Everything's new to him. And, you know, he wears nothing but white. I don't get these guys. These guys, or these Dreams, they don't go or the in-between, the Morpheus-I, whatever. It's like all black, all white. I think Desire just goes for some Desire-looking clothes. The Delight. Well, she's cool. She's out of her mind. Now, what I found interesting about this trade is that this wasn't the first time one of the Endless, quote-unquote, died. I believe it was Despair, and I was slightly curious knowing more about the universe and the rules. Those were two major things that were mentioned that piqued my curiosity, but of course they were never explored. So what are you gonna do? How could Despair die? It was also mentioned that Despair died, and the guy that killed her was going to be tortured. I forgot, pain or despair. He's going to be tortured for all eternity. And then Dream wasn't like that. This Dream, maybe because the Lyta Hall was his mother. Which I do wonder how much of memories the new Dream pertains of Daniel. And if he's like an amalgamation or fusion. Like Gotenks or Vegito. Fusion. Another thing was that the Wake reminded me of the last trade of the great Mike Carey's Lucifer series. I'm losing my voice, but I won't go on for long. I know it should be the other way around for, you know, normal people that read The Sandman back when it came out, early 90s or whatever. But I read Lucifer first. Now, I've said this before, I'm not the biggest fan of the last Lucifer trade, because it's just one long epilogue that ties up the character stories. And The Wake, it does do the same thing. And it's like, that's not bad, right? It's not bad, but it's not great. Because there were a lot more characters in The Sandman than in Lucifer, and you wouldn't see them for trades, or I guess years in publications. Never even get. I like the guest appearances by like Darkseid, Batman, or whatever. But since I didn't remember the characters, I didn't know the characters. Oh, I might have barely remember them. But either way, I didn't care for the characters. So, if you don't care about the characters, one long epilogue, quote unquote long, because this trade is not that big, and there's another story. I mean, it's not going to do anything for you. It didn't do anything for me. Now, I had a question or two. This is what I don't understand. I do understand, apparently, is that when one of the Endless, quote-unquote, dies, they'll be replaced. Despair and Dream, perfect examples. Now, if Daniel wasn't born, would Dream have been replaced? And would it have been someone looking like him? Like, what happens if Dream dies and there's no Daniel and Dream doesn't? I guess he kind of planned it, right? So, there's another manifestation, because it's weird. They die, but they're endless, and it's like, well, how endless are you if you, you know, died? And I don't get it. I don't get it. Now, Destruction left, but nothing or no one replaced him. Now, does this only happen when they die? Like, that's what I wanted to know. I mean, this is what I still don't get about the series. I would love to have Neil Gaiman on to ask him. Like, so Destruction leaves. It's not that there's no more Destruction. So what does he do? Like, if Death leaves, this isn't that new Twilight Zone episode. I don't know if I mentioned this, but the newest series a few years ago, where the fat bald short dude from Seinfeld, Jason Alexander. I don't like Seinfeld, so I don't know his character's name. But I did like him on Voyager when he tried to get 7 of 9 in the brain tank. That was a good one. And then in the Twilight Zone episode, so Death left, no one died for that day. And then Jason Alexander, there you go, he's a good actor. Not in Seinfeld, that show sucks. Like, if Death left, I assume people would die. And if Dream left, well, Dream was in prison for 50 years or something. And people still had dreams. I mean, his dream thing was all messed up. It might not have ran smoothly, I don't think. But, I mean, how could you mess up Death? I suppose, yeah, I don't know. Because I guess it's more what Death does after. But Destruction's there, it's like, I don't know. Apparently, so nothing happens when they leave. Alright. Because they don't pass the burden on to someone or something else. But if they die, someone or something else must replace it. Or they're reincarnated in some form. It's really weird. It's really weird. Now, aside from The Wake being three stories and one, or two side stories that make no sense or have nothing to do with it, and the rest being an epilogue, it's just that it ends in a cliffhanger of sorts. It's like the new Dream, Daniel Dream, goes to meet with the family. And the story ends right there. And you're like, oh, you turn the page. Oh, it's this random Chinese guy wandering in a desert. This is that? I don't get it. I turned the page and he was about to talk with them. Because I'm going to guess this has only happened once before with Despair. I don't think it's happened, as killing these guys would be extremely, extremely hard. But I think it just happened once. So, but that wasn't shown. Kind of like in Paranormal Activity, where none of them die, because there's a sequel. And they're both in it, so I guess they both live, but something happens. There's blood, and the screaming, and there's knife. All off camera. It's fucking terrible. So, all this shit, all off camera. Not as terrible, because it's just the dinner. There's no screaming. Oh, what a boring movie. I should have watched Chun-Li. Yeah, at least she's hot. Kristen Crick, or whatever. Now, the rest of the trade. And actually, after one or two issues in, it has art I don't care for. I did enjoy the Chinese banished guy. Just didn't enjoy the way it was told. It was more poetic or some shit. It was the art and the lettering. That was cool. Kind of reminded me, today I went to Genghis Khan exhibit in the San Jose Tech Museum. That was cool. That was cool. Wasn't what I thought it'd be. The Star Trek exhibit was better because, you know, it had, you can sit in the captain's chair and yeah, there's a transporter. There's nothing like that for Genghis Khan. Oh, and then that City of the Edge of Tomorrow thing in Mabob. So that it was real cool. But I mean, you learn stuff. I didn't learn that much because I already knew most of it. And it didn't get real detailed for people like me that knew shit. But you learn stuff. Or is that? I was thinking of Chinese and then I was thinking of Mongolians. There is a connection there, by the way. Kubla Khan. Now, it's like, Neil, why did you end it with a Shakespeare story? I don't like Shakespeare. Like the IDW series Kill Shakespeare, I want Shakespeare to die in stories. So, yeah, I did like the Ben character. The guy who was like, Will. The only red sign is to get laid. You should have wrote this. You should have wrote that. You know no one will remember you. He's like, yeah. Now, I thought that was cool. And I wanted to know if that was a character Gaiman made up or if he was a real person. Since I don't like William Shakespeare. Yeah, I'm not checking. So, the problem I had with the Shakespeare story, I actually preferred the Chinese guy story more. Is that I don't prefer the way it's done more. It's kind of tough to read or annoying, or it seems like it's just done for effect. The way it's done. But the Shakespeare story, the problem I have with it is that it seems a bit of a bunch of writer wank. Where you go, it's tough to be a writer. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like, yeah, I made a deal with the devil. I mean, if you're good. Oh, yeah. I work too much writing and then ignore everyone else around me. Yeah, we get it. All writers have demons. And coincidentally are self-centered. And annoying. And have fragile egos. This all includes me, by the way. I'm not saying I'm better than any other writer. Yeah, I'm definitely not better talented-wise any other writer. Hey, anyways, this is beside the point. So on the market critic score, I gotta go. I'm giving this, I give it a 3. It's like, what's the next trade? What do you go after the wake? The Endless Nights. But I suppose I get that in a couple of weeks. Thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you haven't stopped subscribing because I was gone for a fortnight without saying anything. As always, appreciate it if you left me some feedback on iTunes. Next week's pick will probably be an interview. If not, it'll be Sweet Tooth out of the Deep Woods. If you have comments, questions, or suggestions, you can email me at vertigocast@gmail.com or you can go to thecomicforums.com to see what's coming up. Visit the website at vforvertigo.blogspot.com. I'm also part of the Comics Podcast Network. Go check that out at comicspodcast.com. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/hellsfire. And remember, you can't lose what you don't put in the middle, but you can't win much either.